And so, in other words, and this is in a sense what Alter Rebbe is saying here. What Alter Rebbe is saying is that even if emotionally I'm not in that state emotionally, but Hashem calls him my father. Hashem calls himself my father for me. He imbued that relationship in the depth of my soul. And that's true irrelevant of my work. So when I bring it out of my mind and I bring it out of my heart, it's joined with my deed. Hashem joins it with my deed. And therefore the Torah and mitzvahs, machshava tova, kodesh baruch hu mitzarif olamayza, the Torah and mitzvahs that are imbued with a unique flavor, with a unique color, because Hashem takes that thought that is not an authentic emotion, and he joins it with my deed. Karasili avi. I'm the one who gives in to your physical deeds of mitzvahs and your earthly act of learning Torah. I'm the one who gives within it, who imbues it with that feeling of that I am your father. Karasili avi, even though there's no karasa. Now the Alter Rebbe explains what is this unique element and flavor that characterizes the Torah and mitzvahs of such a Jew. That he was doing it in order to give his father gratification. He's not doing it for his own purpose. He's not even doing it for the purpose of connecting to his own spirituality, of connecting to his life, of connecting to his soul, which is the former level of love, nafshi v'sicha, but he's doing it for his father's sake. What is the pleasure the father gets of your Torah mitzvahs? So he says, v'anachas ruachu, the pleasure is, k'moshul simchas ha-melech mibnoi sheboi lov b'tzeisi mibeis asurim kanal. The gratification he provides Hashem is akin, by way of illustration used earlier in chapter 31 and 41, to the joy, to the ecstasy of a king whose son returns to him after liberation from captivity. Who can transcribe on paper or verbalize in words the unique pleasure a mother or a father experience when their child who has been in captivity for so many years, as Alter Rebbe described it, in a dungeon under a mill, tortured, deprived, and after so many years, the child returns to the father and mother. The pleasure, the quelling, the delight, the joy, the ecstasy is literally indescribable. And Alter Rebbe says, that's what happens when you do a mitzvah. That's what happens when you open up a blad gemara. That's what happens when you daven, when you learn, and when you perform a mitzvah. The soul is in captivity. The soul is in a deep exile. It's obscured, it's veiled, it's covered, it's sometimes abused, subjected to alien forces and used for things that are totally antithetical to its identity. When it learns Torah, when it does a mitzvah, it goes back to the bosom of its father and its mother. So there is the pleasure of the child coming back to the father and the mother. But here he's talking about that the Torah and mitzvahs are performed with the intent that my father should have pleasure, the pleasure of the king when the prince comes out of prison. Why should I be interested in giving him that pleasure? Why should that be the sole purpose of my Torah and mitzvahs? When I arouse that level of love, that he is my father, I'm doing it for the sake of my father, who's going to have unbelievable pleasure as a result of this. Or even a higher level, that's what you mentioned before. Or Hashem's gratification may be from the fact that it has been made possible for him to have a home in the lowly elements of reality, as mentioned above in chapter 36, that was the whole purpose of creation. And this is even a higher level, and really he discussed both of these levels in chapter 41. The first level is also totally not spiritually self-oriented. I want my father should have pleasure. But I want my father should have pleasure from the fact that I came out of prison. What's motivating me is not that I am coming out of prison. My pleasure, my delight from coming back to my father, that's the love of nafshi v'sicha. What's motivating me is the delight of my father, the smile on the king's face from seeing me. But still, it's the smile on his face from seeing me. or even a deeper level, this purpose is that Hashem's purpose in creation is going to be fulfilled. He's going to have a home in this world. And that's what's stimulating me, that's what's motivating me, imbuing the Torah and mitzvahs. And this is another type of relationship. Just to illustrate it, to give it a vivid example, because, you know, our souls are in prison, and these things seem so foreign, and, you know, the Alter Rebbe. Well, Tehillim and Tanya work very well together, right? And Tehillim, like Tanya, is one of the, don't take me literally, but it's one of those obsolete books. You know, our great-grandparents, they breathe Tehillim. And my grandmother, may she be well, a 90-year-old woman, you know, would say Tehillim 4 or 5 times a day. You know, we go on to AOL, she went to Tehillim. You know, that was, Jews found themselves in Tehillim. Tehillim was David HaMelech's expression of the Jewish soul. Today we say Tehillim, unfortunately, when we need help. But it's not the natural place you go in order to become satiated psychologically. But the Alter Rebbe keeps on quoting Tehillim. Now, I was just thinking, you know, I really struggle with this every week. The later chapters in Tanya I mentioned last week, beginning from chapter 41, are on another level in many ways. We spoke about this last. Are really on another level in many ways. I mean, the Alter Rebbe gets into very heavy emotional, very lofty, sublime emotional, spiritual experience. And sometimes when one reads this, you know, we think, who is he talking to? I mean, you know, if he's talking about a level, either you're doing the Torah and mitzvah, right, just for the sake of giving Hashem pleasure. It's not even for the sake of me connecting to Hashem, right? For us, just that would be an unbelievable experience, right? That I should do a mitzvah and actually feel I am connecting to my own soul. I'm connecting to my own. And then even more, that's not enough. That Hashem should have a home in this world, irrelevant of me. That's Liachet the Kutchabrichu Shchinte B'Tachtoinim of chapter 41. You know, so who is he talking to? But in a sense, one of the elements, and it is the Alter Rebbe talks before, you know, just talking about something. Talking about something means it's a reality. He said before, Li Yisragel Al Hashayinai. Talking about things gives it a certain reality outside of our own subjective imagination. Talking about a person who experienced this, a person who addresses this, a person who this is part of the vocabulary, it just has some type of effect on you. Because usually we are so detached from this mode of experience, which for the Alter Rebbe was reality. Everything else was a distortion of reality. You know, talking about it, becoming familiar with such a concept affects every person wherever they are in their level. It's the soul is serious, God is serious, love of Hashem. It's a reality somebody talks about, one should reckon with. He's teaching us how to fantasize. In the positive sense.
As a goal, yeah. In the rectified imagination.
Right.
Father didn't realize that, he thought that he was dead.
Right, right.
Whatever, and somehow, and when you see, if you mamash lived that scene, the same, you get a little voice because you can bring you to tears. Such a, you see the event, but the two people are there, and they're coming as like the same thing. Why is David standing less than, you know, if you're the son, and you start fantasizing.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah.
What is the critical factor? yourself with that? Just when you had that in mind when you were doing the mitzvah, that was your thought? Either the lower level or the higher?
Yeah, but it's not just a thought. It's not just you thought in your mind, I want to give Hashem pleasure. You're interested in giving Hashem pleasure. You're emotionally interested. You're motivated emotionally. It stimulates you.
But how he described it, you're not necessarily emotionally connected.
He says it might be an illusion. Don't worry about it. Since the love is innate, so you do your job, and Hashem will connect it to the deed.
So then it just depends on which thought is motivated.
No, in other words, what's stimulating the deed is not something false.
No,
even though you think it's something false, Hashem joins it.
So if these two levels are sort of arbitrary, which one do you want to...
Well, one is a deeper level than the other.
Yes, but since you're not really experiencing either one, so you could sort of arbitrarily do it the shame this one or the shame that one.
That's a good question. But I think it's difficult to fool yourself, ultimately.
But he's saying you're not fooling yourself. So go ahead and indulge yourself. Because there's a reality to it.
Okay, go ahead.
So either one you want.
Go ahead.
Are you talking about daydreams? Is that
what you're
talking about? Not daydreams.
He said you could have either as a son.
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah. Times that Hashem created the world to be stimulated by the deeds of the tzaddikim.
Yeah.
Is that the level of bringing the father joy? Is that the same thing, or is that a slightly different shade?
That's more the Dura B'Tachtayna, the second thing. The Dura B'Tachtayna.
How is it related to...
Okay, it's a separate... I don't want to get into it now. It's a separate thing.
I think it's a little bit harder to get heated up.
It doesn't
evoke the same emotional response as somebody being reunited with a son that's been heated up by
Zohar. Dirubat doesn't engage me. The first element engages me. The second doesn't engage me. You really have to care for God. You totally have to care for... He wants a Dirubat Achtainim. It's presented well in the following... I think it's this idea is presented well in the following story. It's a story with the Baal Shem Tov. When one thinks about it, it's quite mind-staggering. Particularly when we take into consideration many schools of contemporary religious Jewish thought and Hashkafa. The Baal Shem Tov, all his life, strove to reach the Holy Land. Baal Shem Tov once said that if he and Reb Chaim ben Otter, the Eir HaChaim, who lived in Jerusalem, would join forces and meet, they would be able to bring Mashiach. Well, Shem Tov made a few attempts, according to the Hasidic tradition, to reach the Holy Land, but there were always obstacles, unforeseen obstacles that came his way and never allowed him to reach his ultimate destination. One of these failed journeys left the Baal Shem Tov together with his daughter, Adel, who was traveling with him, stranded, penniless, in Istanbul, which is today Turkey, Constantinople. Then it was known as Istanbul, right before Pesach. They were stranded there on Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach. They didn't have matzah, they didn't have wine, they had nothing else, no other... things they needed for the festival, and penniless. The Baal Shem Tov was deeply, deeply distressed. I mean, right before Pesach, to be in this situation. You're asking, there was a Jewish community there. I don't know exactly where it was, which section of the city it was, how much before Yom Tov it was, but in any case... They did find some home, and they were staying there. Yom Tov arrived, right before Yom Tov arrived, right before the time of candlelight, there was a knock on the door. And a Jew walked in, and he seemed like a wealthy Jew. He was a merchant, he was well-dressed. And they found a home to stay. And he asked, you know, he said he got stuck on the road, if he could stay here for Yom Tov. They said, of course you could stay, but we have nothing for the Seder, nothing. He said, I have everything. Because I was on a journey, so I took everything with me. I didn't know exactly where I'll be. And he had a lot. He had matzah, and he had wine, and he had food. And they had a lovely Seder. So the Baal Shem Tov, Adol, and this Jew. Two nights of Pesach ended, and Chol HaMoed, he was off on the, he was going, he was continuing to travel. I think it was a non-Jewish home they were staying. They took somebody's basement or something. Somebody allowed them to stay there. And it was a non-Jewish home. That's why they didn't have a Seder. If not, they would have had the Seder with this Jew. So when he was leaving, the Baal Shem Tov tells him, you gave me my soul for Pesach. You gave me back my soul. You gave me my life. I want to repay you. What can I do for you? He realized that he's dealing with a tzaddik, a great tzaddik. He didn't know who the Baal Shem Tov was, but it was noticeable from the Seder nights. He says, I'll tell you. I have, thank God, I'm very comfortable, I'm very wealthy. I have a comfortable home, I'm healthy, my wife is healthy. But one thing, we never had children. For years, we never had children. We tried everything we can. We went to many doctors. We can't have children. Baal Shem Tov was so moved. He said, I swear to you that in a year, you will be holding your child in your arms. And they parted ways. This, according to the story, created an extraordinary commotion in heaven. It has been decreed, part of the system of the spiritual worlds was that these two souls cannot have children. And the Baal Shem Tov, on the other hand, as the Talmud says, Hashem fulfills the decrees of the tzaddikim. So the Baal Shem Tov's decree and oath had to be fulfilled. So really the Baal Shem Tov created havoc in the entire system. Right? He just comes in and just... creates a total disorganization in what's going on up there. So there was a very heavy commotion, and they decided this person will have a child. But the Baal Shem Tov is going to lose his portion in Olam Haba for what he did. And this will substitute the fact that they couldn't have children. He takes it upon himself, and he's going to lose his child, so to speak. His Olam Haba, the Baal Shem Tov's portion in the world to come, was taken from him. The Baal Shem Tov, for him, the border between the physical and the spiritual world was very, how do we say it?
Ephemeral.
Translucent, ephemeral. It's like the border between the U.S. and Canada. For us, the border between the spiritual and the physical world is like the border between Israel and Syria. But, for him, it was like, So he was privy to this information, and he heard about it. He heard about the fact that he forfeited, he lost his portion in the world to come. When the Baal Shem Tov heard about this, his daughter said, my father's face lit up with joy. And the Baal Shem Tov began dancing. Baal Shem Tov said, how fortunate I am. How lucky I am. I just learned that I forfeited, he tells Adol, that I forfeited all heavenly reward for my good deeds. No reward. He says, all my life I've been troubled by the fact that my serving Hashem, my Torah and mitzvahs, is ultimately being stimulated by being fueled by some ulterior motive. By some, it's being tainted by the expectation of reward. He says, now, however, I know it's going to have to be pure. I know there's no possibility for reward. I'm doing it in order to do it. I'm doing it in order to fulfill Hashem's plan, in order to give Hashem pleasure. That's a whole other type of spirituality. That's a whole other type of motivation. It's not about me receiving reward. It's not even about me receiving spiritual reward. It's not even about me being connected to my true self, because I want to be connected to truth. It's because I want truth to happen. That's Dira B'Tachtayna. Or because I want to see the king smile when his child returns to him from prison. But that's the nature of this love. I just want to finish a few lines, because it finishes the doesn't finish it, but one more element in this. The Alter Rebbe adds, Vihine, this was all discussing the second level of chapter 44, the second love, I'm sorry, the love of a child to a parent. Now he goes back. That's where I'm holding them. V'hine now, gam lipchines nafshi ivisichan iskeres leil, even also in regard to the above mentioned love of the category of nafshi ivisicha, that my soul longs toward to you. Or rather, my soul, I long to you, as he explained last week, that level of love in which the Jew becomes emotionally aware of the fact that Hashem is my soul, and therefore I want my soul, truth, that is my soul, that is my life, and I want that. He says, oh, so this love, which is also concealed in the Jew and not manifestly, it's not manifest, this too, karev hadavr miyot, it is extremely accessible and attainable, lahitziya me'ahelim alagili, to bring it out of its concealment into the open, ayidei hergel tamid, through constant practice, b'fi v'libay shavin, with mouth and heart in full accord, by constantly and habitually practicing, talking about it, thinking about it, and your mouth and your heart should be in full accord, which means you talk about it, you don't just allow it to remain there in your heart. So when that which is in your heart is expressed in your mouth, that's the way to again bring it out, to arouse it. It should become an active emotional force in you. So again, here one has to talk about it, think about it. It's existing, but talk about it, think about it, and it'll be there. No, Piva Libay Shavin is, since he already introduced the concept earlier, so I think here he just coins the phrase to encapsulate the message. That the heart has to find expression through your mouth. And Kail Ma'ira Kavana, by talking about it, the voice, so to speak, arouses one's inner response. This is a theme, for example, one of the major themes of Sefer HaChinuch. There are many philosophies of mitzvahs. I think the quintessential philosophy that transcends any other explanation I've ever seen is Tanya. Tanya chapter 23, what he says about Torah and mitzvahs is very difficult to find anywhere. You know, he goes back, what's the source, what's the essence of it? But in Jewish literature throughout the ages, there have been many systems explaining what is the significance of mitzvahs. And everybody explains different dimensions of it, different perspectives, from the Rambam's Meir Nevuchim, from the Rambam's Guide to the Perplexed, the whole third section deals with the reasons of mitzvahs, to the other philosophical, great philosophical works of the Jewish people, to the Kabbalistic works, to the more rationalistic works, etc. One of the famous works is called the Sefer HaChinuch. It was authored in the 1100s, the 1000s, a very ancient text. And it's a philosophy of mitzvahs. He enumerates the mitzvahs and explains the reason for every mitzvah. And one of the major themes, in his words, of the mitzvahs is Acherei ha-pu'ulois nimshachos ha-levavos. Physical action takes ultimately root in one's heart. He introduces it, I think, the first time in Parshas Bo, In Mitzvah 16, you're not allowed to break the bones of the Karban Pesach. The offering of the Pesach that the Jewish people would bring on Passover, talking about the Baal Shem Tov, say that you weren't allowed to break the bones. He says, why not? He says, because Pesach, you have to feel like a king, like a prince, like a liberated human being. Who breaks bones? He says, poor people who don't have what to eat, they're looking for the bones, they're breaking the bones, they're separating the bones, they're distributing the bones. Kings who have plenty don't break the bones. And then he says, why is it so important to do so many things to remember, you know, the Exodus of Egypt? If you have to remember the Exodus of Egypt, do one thing. Eat matzah, eat maror, don't eat bread. Why are there so many mitzvahs involved with it? And he explains. He says, because the actions, doing things in a physical way, takes root in a person's heart. It introduces a certain emotional awareness. Now, it's not exactly the same idea, but the similar vein that the Rebbe is saying, talking about it, gives it a reality. And it's already a reality in you. That's the Alter Rebbe's addition. The reality, the emotion exists within you. You have to bring it out. You need Piva Libe Shav. One second. We're not finished chapter 44 yet. There's a whole other thing going on here. Another two lines. And Alter Rebbe adds, this is all if you develop a feeling. The question is it an illusion or it's not an illusion? But you can even debate if it's an illusion, right? But we don't even have that problem. This is a person, you know, I don't know if I'm really feeling it or... He says, however... Even if he cannot bring out the love into a revealed state in his heart. Not even as an illusion. It's not even a dream that he can imagine. He knows that this is not me. Nevertheless, Yachel Lasik Bateru Mitzvah Slishman. You see, here he addresses what you said before. He can nevertheless occupy himself in the Torah and mitzvahs lishman for their own sake. Which to do Torah and mitzvahs, to learn Torah and observe mitzvahs for their own sake. One needs to experience some type of love towards Hashem. Because that love towards Hashem compels me, motivates me, and stimulates me to do the Torah and mitzvahs for their own sake, for Hashem. So he says, even this person can perform Torah and mitzvahs lishmon. Al yidei tziyur inyanav hazu b'machshava shebemeichai. Through portraying the idea of this love in his mind. Art. Tziyur. By portraying a vision of this love in his mind, the Torah and mitzvahs that is performed can be deemed as Torah and mitzvahs that are being performed lishma. Umachshava toiva kadosh baruch hu metzarfu chuli. Here again, a good thought is united by Hashem to deed. What the Alter Rebbe explained before in Tanya again in chapter 16. This can be called a good thought. I'm imagining the love in my mind. I'm depicting a picture of it in my mind. Understanding what it is. The deed is detached from it. It's not stimulating and motivating the deed because it's not an emotional, palpable experience. But he says, Hashem takes the thought and joins forces, creates a shidduch, a match between the thought and the deed. And the deed, the Torah and mitzvahs that is being performed, is being energized by that thought through Hashem's matchmaking process. And as the Torah and mitzvahs themselves are defined as being elishma. Which will become clearer and more explained as the Alter Rebbe continues this theme in the chapter, which we will conclude, God willing, next week.
That's one example.
Have a good night.
This one about this Israel, rather than just doing a mitzvah, start it, because that will not be lishma. I have a
clue. Well, you remember how he spoke about lishma in chapter 39 and chapter 40. I mentioned before, those were the big chapters he dealt with this theme. And he explained that there is doing in Lishma itself, there are many levels. The most basic, the lowest level of Lishma is, I want to connect my soul to Hashem. Nafshi v'sicha. I want to connect to Hashem. Because my eye can find ultimate fulfillment, its ultimate realization within Hashem. But I care about Hashem. I want to connect to Hashem. And that's what I see in the Torah and mitzvahs. That's the first level of lishma. Anything lower than that, whether it's out of rote, whether it's certainly for arrogance, whether it's honor, reward, etc., that's already lower level. You discussed that in chapter 40. That's the beginning of lishma. Then the lishma goes higher than that, like a child to a father. And in that itself, there are many levels. But for all of this, you need an emotion. You need an emotion towards godliness.
Even reward, loss, and love life is still not
Lishma. Not necessarily. You know, some people, they depict the loss of Olam Haba, right? I'll be able to sit and enjoy life eternally. It's a retirement plan. It doesn't have to do necessarily with godliness, with transcendence. Now, without the Lishma, the Torah and Mitzvahs don't have wings. The Lishma gives the Torah and Mitzvahs wings. It reveals the spirituality of the Torah and Mitzvahs, which is the big theme in Tanya. I mean, this, you know, it's not an isolated theme. This comes in continuation to the end of the 30s, the early 40s, 16, and so on. And one really has to retain in his mind the discussion from the previous chapters to appreciate what he's saying. So he's saying, even though there's no emotion here, it's all in the mind, Hashem creates the shidduch between the mind and the deed, and the Torah and mitzvahs that is performed is provided with wings through which it can soar upwards, and it has the definition of lishma. Okay. Have a wonderful week. Freilich and Purim, yeah. We'll have a shir next week. Huh? Why not? Why not? Let's start right away. We're going to have a shir next week. Oh, yeah. Right.
I think this could be an understanding of the deal that by Moshe Rabbeinu it doesn't say the expression Yerushalayim, rather it's Pashtus in the Moshe called Darav
Adar. I can't even participate.
There you have to express it as to make sense of it. You have to say it's Pashtus in the Moshe because he has to be there. Because Avraham Avinu, when something is Yerushalayim, we say no.
Yeah.
That concept doesn't have to show up because it's you by virtue of genetic or Yerusha, whatever the Yerusha means. The expression by Moshe is Pashtus of the Moshe.
I mean, you need his Pashtus.
But if not for that, fine. He can filter something or provide a certain color, but if that's them, how is it now? As if that operation, how is that thing operating now?
So you need this Pashtus, you say.
That expression, shows up as his Pashtus. If it's a concept of Yerusha, doesn't express itself.
Well, daven. You have to daven. A minute. Give me an amen. When this Mitzvah Shabbos, you mean Shushan Purim?
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be?
Are you going to be in New York?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking. Friday night I have a big event, but that's I guess you can't come there.
Shalavitcha.
Huh?
I figured I might as well ask.
I just don't know. Like, what do you mean practically?
Well, not the Shabbos to come together, whatever. The Olam moves,
But now the Olam weiß doch nicht da. But the Olam weiß doch nicht.
They don't have their way.
I don't think I'd be able to come by
Buddhist. I mean,
get
notified 2 weeks
before.
Maybe Sunday night. Afterwards, I don't know. It's late. It's just late.
I just want to tell you, I might not be able to make it Sunday night.
Just say that. No problem. We'll miss you.
But if you're having a fabring, if it's going to be later, by the time I drop off at the airport, probably.
So what do you suggest, Papayel?
I don't know. I thought maybe you want to shop.
Why did you think just now of it?
No, I wanted it as a performance.
Because of the discussion.
Oh.
Before I went to I personally don't know anything about what Chabad has to say about Purim, so I thought that would be able to be a developing opportunity to hear a little bit of Yael's Tartaira, want to shop.
This
month of Shabbos is a whistle for a title. I should
I'm put up.
That what I'm Amalek. That way Amalek Taka doesn't have a takano. They said that Amalek, there's no bit, there's not a, is it Epis? There's no bitl. Everybody was going to be Maka the Avish, so Er Kenish. Then you see is Kenish. Mele Hadish.
What does he teach Mitzvah Shabbos now? Tanya?
Yeah, he's in Chayyukut Vemunah.
Ah.
He's in chapter 3 there.
Perigam.
I think he just finished Mitzvah Shabbos chapter 3. Mm-hmm. I'll be with you in a minute, Ben. Relax. Listen, there's no question that the word can get around if you make a hachlotah tonight. Between Purim, Shabbos at both the Babichels in this community and the Eichel Menachem, I mean, 90% chance that most of the people in this class are going to bump into one of those institutions, a friend.
I can tell my chevre that I know.
You make that up now, then, especially if it comes on the heels of the Shiur, for example. Or if you want to Matzoi Shabbos, I probably won't be able to come. But I'm just saying that you don't have to worry about. I don't think you have to worry about.
The hills of the sheet is not a problem. The hills of the sheet is here. Matzoi Shabbos is the chum.
Yeah. It was a good idea. It was a thought that was too. I should have said it before.
It's still not too late to work out.
You mean Sunday or Mitzvah Shabbos?
Either one, I think it's not too late to work out. Sunday is probably a better chance because everyone's here for the shiur. So
you mean instead of the shiur, instead of having a shiur?
I don't want to push off Taiva.
I don't think it's good. Huh? Well, afterwards, come and it's not Bissel. So we could do after the shiur for Brenge.
Okay.
We'll finish on time.
Right.
Fine, so Mitzvah Hashem,
okay.
But I don't know.
We never worry yet with you for bringing.
So we'll do it here, I guess.
Yeah,
this room.
Let's do it in this room. Why not? We never had the opportunity to see you for bringing.
What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know.
If
I
bring in my
class,
you realize we don't always, we don't just stick, the classes are stick like for bringing also. So. Today's day and age, for sheer to be interesting, it has to be a little of a bringing. What?
Yes,
he asked, yeah. No, he talks Yiras Chet also.
Before that, you said that there's four levels. You know,
yeah.
You said there's four levels.
Yeah.
There are only two levels.
said that there are two levels that we that Chabad deals with. Two levels.
No.
Five, and then Chabad deals with four.
What I said is Yiras HaEinish.
Are you going down?
Yiras HaEinish is the first, which is dealt very, very seldom with in Chabad. In Chassidus Bechlal. Yiras HaEinish, that's A. The next is called Yiras Chet. Yiras Chet is what he described the inyan of Vihine Hashem Nitzav Alav. That somebody is watching you, so there's inyan of Yiras Chet. Okay? Somebody's watching you, yeah. Which is Yirik Tad, yeah. That Shai Lisbon again, like food and mashka, I mean, who do we ask to take care of that? Huh? I can ask them. I hope they will. No. I don't know if Kleinman is here, Mayor is here. You know Rabbi Kleinman? Yeah. Yeah. And when are they going now?
No,
a few minutes. Yeah. You have a car?
No.
Who? So you can wait a moment. So that's the second. The first is Yiras HaEinish. Then there's Yiras Chet. Yiras Chet is pushed. Somebody's looking at you. I mentioned then, if you're in a chash of a place and you want to spit, somebody's looking at you, you're not going to spit. You on your own would spit. Just somebody's looking at you, so you don't do it. It's Yiras Chet. Third darga is called in Kuntres Aveda Yiras Elokim. It's not glad Yiras Chet. It has to do already with the Eberster. It's not, you're not spitting because somebody's looking at you. You're not spitting because you recognize where you are. It's a different word. It's a whole different edelkeit. It's not just, I would do it. I'm just not doing it because somebody's looking at you. No. You recognize where you are, and therefore you don't do it. You're be'etzem scared to do it.
It's more of
awe, yeah. It's not fear. Nobody's going to catch you. You realize where you are. That's Yiras Elokim. And that itself, there has two pchinas. There's katnus and there's gadlus. There is the inyan of what he says in the end of Perek Mem Beis, you look at the world and you see that it's levushim of the Eberster, and the Melech is here. The Melech. And then there's in the beginning of Perek Mem Gimel, the Gadlus of Elokus. Mahalach Tov Kuf Shana, the Gadlus, your Ord. This is all Yiri Tata. And then there's Yiri Elah. That's the fifth level. With Yiri Sainish, it's five. Without Yiri Sainish, it's four. That's what I meant. They're all specified in Kuntus Aved, I think in Perek Beis, based on this Tanya.
First of all, the Indian, you were saying that the Avos Hashem, there's a Kabbalah, this Chassidus Kabbalah in Malacha, and as if there's no Indian of Avos, there's Indian of Kabbalah. I mean, the Avos, which is to say that the Avos Hashem will get in Cholam of Cholam.
I don't mean to say that Kabbalah invented Avos Hashem. Of course, the mitzvah says in the Midrash of Avos Hashem Elokecha, and Gemara is filled with it. Medrash and Gemara and Chazal, etc.
No, it's a wrong thought, like you were saying that there's some that...
I meant one thing.
I'd like to deal with this spirituality, this...
No, I meant one thing.
It's that is the situation.
Poyel Mamish, Avos Hashem, is something that's dealt with much more in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Musar. It's not of course, it is halacha. Avos Hashem is halacha. The Rambam talks about it in the Mishnah Torah. Yeah. But Alter Rebbe is Mechadish in Perek Mem, he also says it in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Tachlus Aveide hi Aveide Me'ava. Tachlus Aave hi Aveide Me'ava. Ava is not a tachlis. Tachlis Ava, he avoided me Ava.
And also the recognized Teva, I think, is also brought down by the Rambam. The Rambam also mentions it. And I think he mentions that a person, the nature of a person, he's born either with nature,
or either he gets it from his community, or either there are certain things that he's magel himself. He doesn't say. I don't think.
But it doesn't say hegel nasa teva.
Same concept. It says clearly that the person.
Yeah.
And what the whole thing of it is not very clear, because first of all, what's this hegel nasa teva? So the hegel is the love, the speaking. So
Lahamik machshavtei. Not only the speaking. Lahamik machshavtei b'chayi hachayim in sof baruch hu avinu mamash amitim akachin lo eirei lov ha'ava.
This ego of the shein of the kelei should become
the yargel atzmi goes on everything. Also, yeah.
Also later he says, before it was also, he says it was a dinyan.
He says, Afim nidme leilecheder shukeich demyeni. He was mitzi it begilui. But he feels that it's a dimyan. You can be mitzi something begilui and it's still a dimyan.
And he has no feeling.
There's no feeling whatsoever, not even an illusion. Before, he has a feeling. He feels it's not a real feeling. Sometimes you have a feeling, it's not a real, you don't really feel that way. You think you feel that way.
How do you
know that you think?
What do you feel?
A person
thinks that he feels that it's an illusion. What?
No.
He feels a certain emotional feeling, but he feels it's not a real emotion.
Yeah,
everything is not real, but is it real? Is it?
It's interesting. Another place he brings down the Yankee.
It's another Indian. No, it's a dimyan. Afam nidma lo yishu dimyan. Afam nidma lo l'chayir yishu dimyan. He says, it doesn't... L'chayir yishu keich dimyan. He doesn't say it's a dimyan.
And this keich ava is the same by all people?
It's an
Adam's sense which was
given... Zog tach, shava by all the Yidin, yeah? You want to know what it means? A dimyan, pashat. Ask any bacher. And avid always happens between people. You think you're in love with somebody, sugar mamish, yeah, right. And you feel an ava, you feel an ava. So, and circumstances change, right? Something happens, you go away, and it's lehayuv lenivra. Not only no, sometimes avat libedov, sometimes chatchila dimyan. Not avat libedov. Sometimes feelings are illusionary. It can be very fake. It can end. But there are symptoms of an illusion. It's.
When friends,
No, what says they were good friends? If you're telling me over a year, you know, there's the friendship gets shvach fine. But if sometimes it just like happens like this, you know, the feeling is there and leaves, it comes and it goes.
Sometimes you get hit with reality and you realize that was an illusion. You realize that the reality, according to reality of the circumstances, why should we be friends? Why should we be in love? For certain reasons, or especially in love, relationships.
Obviously, that's what Elam Haba
is.
Of course. That's the whole thing. All the Svarim talk about Elam Haba, Elam Haba. For them, Elam Haba was a different Elam Haba. There's two ways to say Elam Haba. Today, people think Elam Haba is Elam Haba. I'm going to become bigger. For them, Elam Haba meant, I'll be Dovuk and Alakus. And Elam Haba, I won't have an ego. It's not my Shlemus. I'm going to have Shlemus there. I'm going to have Shlemos there. What's what I talk so much about Elam? But for them, it was a different Elam Haba, a different Tan Elam Haba. It's like Nafshi Visicha. In Elam Haba, you'll have your Nefesh. It's because a lakus is emes. It's a different word. Even the lowest level of lishma and tanya. What's the word? It's because a lakus is emes. And I want to have a shaykhis to emes. That's the word. You understand? It's a different concept. It's not I should become bigger. I should become smaller because that's the ultimate true why. It is. Which story? With the Rashab? The Tanya. Why I brought the story? I wanted to bring out that the Tanya serves as a very powerful tool to inspire you emotionally. That's what the man was telling the Rebbe Rashab. He didn't know it was the Rebbe Rashab. You understand that? He didn't know it was the Rebbe Rashab. He tells him, look at the Amara, no? Yeah, but he didn't know that. This man didn't know that. He saw him learning. Rebbe Rashab had a tremendous mind, so he would learn and learn. And he saw, he was reserved. He didn't display his emotions. So he thought he's cold. He thought he's a big lamdan, but he's cold. So he said, "Young man, abyssal hearts, abyssal hearts." They weren't on vacation. He was visiting Freud. 1903 in Vienna. They weren't on vacation. Yeah, I said they weren't here. He was a doctor. Yeah. Psychiatrist. He went to see him. They met a lot, many times.
Why
he went to see him. The Rishim is the Rebbe writes for himself. The Rebbe Rashab wasn't feeling well and he wanted to see him. The Rebbe, and the Rishim is. The Rebbe's Rishim is. He writes that he did it for himself. Yeah, but the Rebbe Rashab went to see it. Why to him, what the tachlis was, das vesach, he doesn't say it. He went to see it. Kai wrote a whole article about it, yeah. Psychologist wrote a whole article about it. Shot and the visit, whatever, deeper stam speculation.
You just have to speculate what they talk about.
He wants to say, he wants to say that my modem afterwards changed. Whatever, Narashka. He wants to say that my modem afterwards changed. Ach, Vespes. I don't think Lubavitch knows. I told him, he said it's the first time he says it.
Right, so why is that? Why is that? Till now you're saying it's painless, it's painless, it's painless.
First time he said it, I think the first time, right? Maybe. So maybe he said it before. I can think.
I spoke to you about
it. It's interesting that he says it. Yeah.
I told you that Dibor, you said that's over there, that by the Mamara. Oh, that's my show. That Dibor is.
Which Mamara?
I told you that not over there.
Oh.
He said that's over there. So I, over here, he brings down this thing and I'm calling it.
Why by these Avas, Dafka?
Anywhere else? But this is.
Ich weiß nicht. Is this the Ava of Perikit Ches and Yitas, the Ava Mesetelis, that a Yid is ready to be Zich Mesa Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem? Or not? This is part of the Ava Mesetelis. Is it that Ava Mesetelis?
Just wondering, I'm thinking maybe that Kol is only by a Kavona which there is. Something, maybe this is Avam Sutada, so it's there. Need to be Mahir, it's a cold man. But of course, to bring on a new Ava, does that mean it's Babi?
But it's the Chnushkin Nayava.
Does not. But over here, it's called Mahir Sakapon.
Because it's Avativis. But he spoke before already about Avativis and he never mentioned it.
But Ashes, this would be true. Now, to be Mahir in a new Ava, bring about a new
Ava
would call
him
a new
Ava. No, for sure not. That's a pasha. Avada.
So only by this concept of Ava.
Avada, but your kasha is still a kasha because before he also talks about Ava Mesotelis. Yeah, Afreilichim Purim. So I guess we'll fabreng here to next Sunday. Is the maskana. Which money? Yes, the guy is still here who's going to give us a lift. I just have to fill in something here. Yirmiyah HaNavi rebukes the Jewish people in chapter 3 of the book of Jeremiah. He tells them in verse 2 that you have brought guilt upon the land with your adultery and with your evil. The raindrops have been withheld and the late rain did not happen. Yet you had the boldness of a harlot woman. You refused to be ashamed. Umeitzach isha zoyna hayalach me'anti kali. And then in Pasuk Dalin in verse 4 he says, in the name of Hashem, Haloi me'ata karasa li avi aluf nu'urai ata. If only from now on you would call me Hashem, my father, you are the master of my youth. If only from now on you, the Jewish people, would call me my father, you can again become the master of my youth. Zog de Divrei Yecheskel in Parshas Maaseh, because these verses are read in the Haftarah of Parshas Maaseh. And he says, you know, there are some Jews who can actually call Hashem my father. But then there is a Jew who cannot call Hashem my father. He doesn't have that ability. But yet Hashem grants him that ability. Hashem does it for him. Hashem is the one who makes the call. Hashem is the one who calls him my father. Machshava Tova, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Metzarah Fala Maisa.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.